Hi, I'm Bobby Ojeda, and you are listening to my podcast, Bobby O's Change of Pace. Today is Sunday, August 28th. I have been moving around a lot, so I've been a little remiss. So this is my first podcast in a little while. But I'm back, and actually I enjoyed taking the break, because the funny thing is, when you take the break, all the things that were going on and the predictions that were coming out by the people who are paid to make predictions, I'm not putting them down, but all this, the sky is falling, the sky's not falling, the season's over. In the couple weeks that I took a little break, we're kind of right back to an entirely different narrative than before I left. And I'm going to start right out. It's the Mets Yankees today, so I'm going to start right out with the Yankees. The sky was falling. The sky was falling with the Yankees. The injuries, they weren't winning as much, was the narrative. And then the shock and surprise at what the Yankees do. The amazement that the guys they would bring up to plug holes actually plugged holes. So every team leans on the injuries, and that's the reason they lost, and next year they'll be happy, and I'll get to that later. But what the Yankees do, and what they have just proved tremendously well this year, is that they are built with depth, and they are built with foresight, and they are built with balance, and they are built with guys to come up, not carry the load, just fill, plug a hole. I mean, if you look at who's on the DL of the Yankees, I'm just going to name a couple of them. Frazier, Chapman, Didi, Judge, Sanchez. What you think of Sanchez's defense and his personality and not running to first aside, he's still a pretty good hitter. Those five guys on the DL, and they're still reeling. They're still getting the job done. July 15 and 10, August 15 and 10. Not too shabby. Okay, first half 62 and 33. As they've got the second most wins in major leagues. Second most. But they're playing, and the Red Sox are having that year where everything goes right. Now, they've cooled off, which always happens. It doesn't mean the sky is falling in Boston, although they have a history with the sky falling. And they do get a little more nervous than most clubs. They do have two world championships since the long drought of 86 years that they had. But they are a team that is just as deep. But every team has ebbs and flows. Every team, all of a sudden, you get a little less lucky than you were a couple weeks ago. And so the wins don't come as easily. But what has impressed me so much with the Yankees is they overcame that dreadful stretch when they got swept. When they got swept in Boston, August, it was early August, they got swept. They just lost to Baltimore at home, and the coach snapped in the dugout, which was an embarrassment for the organization. By the way, when the coach snapped in the dugout in front of the fans, showed the team up, showed the manager up, I thought that was horrible. I thought that was a complete step out of line and throw the team in turmoil. You got a young team. You want to know who the captain of the team is, and that's Aaron Boone. So for a coach to cross over and show his frustrations, did that help? Really didn't, because they went into Boston and got swept. But they recovered. Okay, they recovered very nicely. Actually, since that early part, since the sweep, they've been 15-9. So they've recovered. It's not the type of incident that's going to ruin a team. The coach does. No one really. It's your coach. Okay, just quiet down. You're his coach. But it showed me part of the problem that they can have there, and I think Aaron Boone weathered it well. He has to be in charge. For someone to step over that line, it's confusing to the team, and it's an embarrassment to the manager. No question. There's no getting around that. It's the hierarchy of the team is what it is. Whether you love the manager, hate the manager, it is what it is. He's the manager, and you don't cross over that line. So I thought that was a huge mistake. The Yankees are so good and so deep that they've overcome it. They've gone on. I didn't think it was a death blow to them at all, but I thought it was a warning sign that you better firm up your leadership, and I think Aaron Boone has done that. I think he's done that. I think it's been a good thing, and he is going to make or break his season as we wind down and in that playoffs. In the playoffs. And they have no reason to be afraid of a one-game playoff. No reason to be afraid of a one-game playoff. There's a lot of pressure. Guys like pressure. Major league players thrive on pressure. The bad ones don't. But the Yankees got a lot of good ones. They got a lot, the top three pitchers. You give it to any one of those guys. Even CeCe. Give it to CeCe. He can play under pressure. Okay, guys like pressure. Guys rise to the occasion under pressure. And the Yankees are used to pressure. So don't be afraid of the one game playoff. The Yankees are you know, talk of their demise was a little premature. They're an amazing ball club. They just are. I'm just. I like baseball. So if people get a little twisted because they think I'm only supposed to like the Mets, well, I'm sorry. I like them all. I like good baseball. I like an organization that is built around if this happens, which is largely predictable, and you can plug in any scenario you want right there. If this guy gets hurt, this guy has a bad stretch, are we covered? Yes. They have their flanks covered. That's what makes them special. I don't know if they'll go all the way, but I'll tell you this. I wouldn't be tearing up my ticket at all. At all. Like I say, they start popping these guys back from the DL. Team sort of locks in. Team gets in a real good mood. Team gets in a real good chemistry going into the end of the season. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. So that's my Yankee take after a little break. Like I say, the break, the sky was falling. I come back. Hey, wait a minute. You're only six games back. We may catch the Red Sox. So who knows? It's intriguing. And if you love baseball, and I don't care if you're not a Yankee fan, if you just love good baseball, it's intriguing. All right. Now let's go across town. Let's go to the Mets. Oh my gosh. The Mets are just the fact that they punted well before the trade deadline, well before the first, they just punted the season. It's such a disappointment to me. I'm happy for DeGrom doing his thing. What a class act. What a pitcher. The fact that he's kept his cool through all of this is amazing to me, but certainly been a guy you love to watch, and you got a guy you love to emulate. Other than that, there's nothing. Other than that, it's that time of year. It's like we're going to roll out the new version of If We Stay Healthy, the 2019 version, 24, will be great. Here we go. Get your tickets now. Well, they're 58-72. The Marlins, who aren't even trying to win, according to the player rep, Tony Clark, they're not even trying. They're racing to the bottom. Well, they got five less wins. And that's not even trying. You kidding me? So, no, the Mets are lost. They're in the woods. They'll never, ever, ever find their way out until they be honest with what they have. Until they stop playing, thinking it's Nintendo baseball, where you can just plug an athlete in any position and he'll be fine. Doesn't work like that. There's a chemistry. There's guys' careers on the line. All of a sudden, I got a guy who's a third baseman going to play left field because why? Now I'm on the pine? It just sends this whole disruptive message through your organization, through your big league team. And, you know, now we're starting to hear about, here we go again with, oh, we got a guy in rookie league who's hitting, you know, 410. We got a guy in A ball, double A, and, oh, he's going to be the greatest. Here we go again. Stop me, Met fans, if we've heard this, if you hear it a lot. It's a shame. Nothing has changed this year. The organization is upside down. And unless they look at it honestly and feel they've got to get some people who not only understand analytics, but have insight. Because analytics without insight, it's like a map with no words. It's like a map with no lines. It's like a blank piece of paper. The people who've been interpreting their analytics has been where the problem is. I heard somebody, they're relying too much on analytics. Analytics, no, they're not. Analytics are amazing. But you have to look at the athlete first, then the analytic, then analyze the numbers. See where he fits with the rest of your team. Stop when we're going to have the best pitching staff in the world, and who cares if we can play defense. We're going to hit a bunch of home runs. No, you're not. No, you're not. We move the walls in. Still hitting home runs? Nope. Nope. And we're going to look at the second half, get all excited. All right, okay. All right, let's play that game again because that's what they do. Conforto, 271 in the second half. That's beautiful. I like to see it. The kid's come around from his injury. He had a brutal injury. Brutal injury. And it took him a while to get there. Hopefully he's on his way back. But before you get too carried away, Reyes is hitting 250 in the second half. So you want to bring him back? Think about it. If we just separate out numbers and think, yeah, we'll be fine. Well, you're just going around in circles. You're just staying in that forest. You know, people lost in a forest go around in circles. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. I mean, I just don't understand. 10 years, the last 10 years, 8 have been under 500, well under 500. And this year was probably, for me, the epitome. When you punt well before the All-Star break, punt on the season, that's insane to me. I don't believe you're ever that far from the top. I don't believe you're ever that far from the bottom. I don't. But if you don't make changes, if you don't read what you have, if you don't honestly look at your ball club, if you don't honestly look at your organization and say, are we doing it right or are we doing it wrong? And then have the courage to make the changes, to give the fans what they deserve. If you don't have that, you've got nothing. And unfortunately, it looks like nothing's going to change. So get ready for your 2019, if we stay healthy, version of the New York Mets with some pitching, no defense, no balanced offense, very brutal defense, plugging people in all over the place. We'll be fine. We'll compete in this league. Don't work like that. So that's my spiel. I hope you enjoyed it. I don't like to be too negative, but, you know, you have to call it. I call it like it is. I'm beholden to no one. I just analyze the game. I love the game. I love watching the game. I love talking about the game. But I give it to you straight, because if I don't, you're gonna say I'm full of it. And I don't want that. I don't want to tell you what you want to hear. I'm gonna tell you what my perspective as a player for a long time, as a coach, as an analyst, what my perspective is. And I wish it was better for the Mets. It's amazingly bright for the Yankees. I don't know what's going to happen, but it is what it is. I call it like I see it. I like to be honest with you, and I hope you enjoyed it. Until next time.